shot.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So that's that Sri Krishna Samhita. You're saying that by Bhaktivinoda Gaur. That's what I love about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, some of his books, that in just a few sentences, he summarizes the main theme and the main statement of a whole section of our Krishna philosophy, and in such a simple way. So it helps you to stay on track. You know, when we're reading many different verses, many different purports, a few commentaries, and he has that way of just keeping everything on the straight track, the straight and narrow. And of course, because we are... We utilize these books only for the purpose of helping us to understand Srila Prabhupada's teachings. I gave class the other day, and Aniruddha Prabhu mentioned that when he was overseas, initiated devotee said to him that... the next world acharya will be a woman.
Next?
A world acharya. Right, so we've had one, Prabhupada, and the next world acharya... So Niskan initiated vote, said, the next world acharya will be a female. he asked me, what do you think of that? I said, well, we already have a world acharya. And I said that, basically what happens is that such persons in ISKCON, we may see that, they will rise to the platform of being a guru on the strength of Prabhupada's books and Prabhupada's movement and Prabhupada's temples and, on the strength of ISKCON or Prabhupada, and then they will, reject Prabhupada. That is the impersonalist philosophy. But... there is no need to replace Srila Prabhupada, who is non-different from his vani or his instructions or teachings in the books, which have been translated according to all the acharyas' commentaries. So there's no need to, pushing Prabhupada aside is the same as removing his teachings, and that is the same as misunderstanding how we associate with the founder acharya, the world acharya, in his absence through his vani. So there's a very significant philosophical discrepancies in a statement like that, so that's why whenever we study as we're studying Prabhupada's teachings, we may refer to the teachings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the different acharyas, for the purpose of solidifying our faith and understanding of Prabhupada's teachings, so that they will never be replaced, so that we can understand how perfect and complete they are. For that purpose, we do that. That is suitable. But already, as is the nature of Kali Yuga, we will see it now and we will see it in the future, where those misunderstandings that we needed something more than what Prabhupada gave us, that misunderstanding is why we're studying those books, so that no one can ever do that. So Now, we got up to verse 8. Oh, that's right, yes, verse 8 of the second chapter. Yes, because there's some very significant points in that purport to rediscuss, and also there are some points in that purport which we haven't covered at all. And that verse, of course, that is that within the womb of Devaki is my partial planetary expansion known as Sankishan or Sesha, without difficulty transfer him to the womb of Rahini. So that is the Lord speaking to, that was verse 8. And verse 7, the Lord began by saying to Yogamaya, O my potency, who are worshipable for the entire world, and whose nature is to bestow good fortune upon all living entities, go to Braja, where there live many cowherd men and their wives. In that beautiful land where many cows reside, Rohini, the wife of Vasudev, is living at the home of Nanda. Other wives of Vasudev are also living there incognito because of fear of Kamsa. Please go there. Within the womb of Devaki is my partial planetary expansion known as Sankishan or Sesha, without difficulty transfer him to the womb of Rahini. In verse 7, Prabhupada mentions that Yogamaya was ordered to go there, Nanda Gokul, and encourage the devotees with fearlessness, and thus became even more beautiful and safe. Yogamaya had the ability to create such an atmosphere. So yeah, as an example of some of the translations by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Sri Krishna Samhita. In verse 9 he says, right after the appearance of the transcendental reservoir of all living entities, awareness of the Lord appeared in the heart of the living entities. Thereafter, so Balaram is considered the reservoir of all living entities. You know, he epitomizes that, synonymous with that. So the transfer of Balaram to Braja Gokul is similar to giving all living entities that safe place to go where they can nurture their faith in Vrindavan. Thereafter, the eighth son, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared as Narayan with full opulences. The great heroic Lord appeared with the desire to vanquish Kamsa, who was the personification of atheism. The Lord in his own form, as Krishna, was brought to Braja, which is created by the Sandini aspect of the spiritual potency, because the Sandini aspect is the platform of eternal existence, eternal truth. The root foundation of this land is faith. The purport is that this land does not exist in argument or speculative knowledge. It exists in faith. Speculative knowledge or renunciation is not found there. The most blissful son of Nanda is the only authority there. There is no consideration of superiority or inferiority of the different caste in that abode. That is why the Lord appeared in the family of cowherd men. He always engaged in tending and protecting the cows, as such activities are devoid of opulence and full of sweetness. So everything is, you know, symbolic. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing that out. And then he goes on to say, the inferior energy Maya, who was begotten by the blissful mother Yasoda, the wife of Nanda, was taken out of Braja by Vasudeva. The mundane conception that is inherent in the conditioned soul's impression of the spiritual abode is destroyed by the arrival of Krishna. So we see there that, again, this analogy by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that Yogamaya assisted Vasudeva to take Krishna to Braja, well, Balaram first, in the sense also allowing entrance to all living entities into that abode where they can worship Krishna with faith and safely. And that made way for Krishna to then also appear there. And the then his Maya, when Krishna appeared there, the Yoga Maya, as we know, has two aspects, the Yoga Maya and the Mahamaya. The Mahamaya aspect had to leave because, as it says, the mundane conception that is inherent in the conditioned soul's impressions of the spiritual abode is destroyed by the arrival of Krishna. So Yoga Maya stayed. And Mahamaya left. And so, you know, we have discussed to some degree, and we'll discuss more as we go on, about the appearance of Krishna, the appearance of Balaram. So,
why was Mahamaya there?
So, well, Yogamaya belongs in Vrindavan because she makes arrangements for Krishna. And we see that, we understand that Krishna was born to Yasoda, so he's known as the son of Yasoda Nanda. And Vasudeva Krishna, former Narayan, etc., was born to Vasudeva and Devaki. That expansion of Krishna, Vasudeva Krishna, was transferred. He entered into the original form of Krishna. So therefore, Krishna is considered both the son of Vasudeva and Nanda, etc. And Balaram, again, you know, we know that Balaram is considered the son of Rohini and Vasudeva, but is also considered the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. So Devaki had, as it says in the Krishna book and also in the Bhagavatam, Devaki bore 8 sons and 1 daughter. And so she bore 1 daughter. So Yogamaya, who was there present, because when it describes that Krishna appears, we'll see that he appeared with his along with his full potencies at the same time. Yogamaya, although she was helping Vasudeva to get out of prison and take Krishna across, so she was there, but at the same time she was also there in the form of the little girl who was born. And at the same time, you know, the senior parents, seniors, such as Purnamasi, were also previously there. So Yogamaya is also there. So we have to keep that in mind that, you know, in the same way that Krishna can have many forms as he likes and, you know, change his form. So his energy is similarly like that. There's no restrictions. But also, actually, as we also hear that Yogamaya, Krishna said that you will become famous as, you know, the daughter of Yashoda. Vindhya Chalavasini. So for instance,
but she doesn't get to experience the parental love.
No. We see that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, we read in verses, in the 24th chapter, verses 53 and 55, it actually specifically states that Devaki, she had 8 sons. You want to bring that up and read that translation? Canto 9, chapter 24, verses 53 to 55. You get it?
Yeah.
Chapter what? 3. Canto 9, chapter 24, verses 53-55. Yeah, what's that translation? You got that?
The 8 sons is alone. The 8 sons born of Sahadev, such as Pravara and Shuta, were exact incarnations of the 8 Vasus in the heavenly planets.
Yeah.
Vasudev also begot 8 highly qualified sons through the womb of Devaki.
Yeah.
This includes Kirtiman, Sushena, Bhadrasena, Raju, Samvardhana, Bhadra, and Sankarsana, the controller and serpent incarnation. The 8th son was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Godhead himself, Krishna. The highly fortunate Subhadra, the one daughter, was your grandmother.
Yeah. So Subhadra is specifically stated there as being the daughter of Vasudeva and Devaki.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also hear that she's the daughter of Yashoda.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we can understand that when Krishna appears, it states that when he appeared with his full potencies. So we understand that because Devaki gave birth to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his full potency, she can also be called, you know, the mother of Subhadra. But generally, she's famous. You know, we'll read here. She's famous as the daughter of Yashoda and Nanda. So, and then.
So that's why she's Mahamaya.
Yes, Yogamaya has two.
She's born in Vrindavan as a little girl, so is that why she's Mahamaya?
Yeah, she's Yogamaya and Mahamaya. They are the same person. So sometimes when Yogamaya acts as Mahamaya in her expansion.
I thought she didn't do Mahamaya, wasn't in Vrindavan.
That aspect of Yogamaya didn't stay in Vrindavan. The Mahamaya aspect of Yogamaya left, was taken out. That is the Durga aspect.
So she can be there with Yogamaya. At that point, she was there with Yogamaya.
Yes.
She could be there at all.
Yes, Yogamaya. Yogamaya was there in the form of the little daughter.
So Mahamaya left. I thought you were saying Mahamaya was the... Anyway, I got a bit confused.
Yogamaya stayed. I read that quote last time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But when you say Mahamaya left...
Yeah.
I didn't think Mahamaya could be in... I didn't think she went to Vrindavan. I thought just Yogamaya...
That's right. Yogamaya, Yogamaya, what it means is that Yogamaya, who has the aspect of Mahamaya, when she's in Vrindavan, she doesn't display her Mahamaya effects. She's displaying her Yogamaya effects. For those who are, for the living entities who are taking shelter of Vrindavan to worship Krishna, but she may display her effects for others who are not there for the sake of worshipping Krishna, and therefore, in essence, they're not actually, you know, therefore, if one is in the tract of land known as Vrindavan, but can be under the influence of Mahamaya, so they have no real access to see Vrindavan proper, or Krishna, or the devotees, or the spiritual activities, even though they may physically be in that tract of land. So that is, you know, so for the living entities who go to Vrindavan, who want to nurture their faith and love for Krishna, then Yogamaya looks after them. And if people go to Vrindavan, you know, with a different motive, which is unfavourable, Mahamaya actually doesn't allow them to have access, and therefore you see that Durga Devi, you know, is one of the guardians of the entrance into, you know, you actually have to have her entrance into Vrindavan. So you can physically go there, but Mahamaya, you'll just enter the Mahamaya. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura in his Navadvip Dham Mahatmya explains that just like in Navadvip, there's a covering, external covering of the Dham called Prodamaya, and those persons who don't, you know, have that devotional attitude, they exist in that covering, external feature of the Dham, even though they're physically present. So they may be physically present, but actually they're within the realm of Maya, and they're not necessarily within the realm of the spiritual realm of Vrindavan, which is symptomized by having faith and devotion to Krishna. So, and we see in 10.156 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that's where it says also in, you know, in this, that it says here also, the same thing, that each year thereafter, in due course of time, Devaki, the mother of God and all the demigods, gave birth to a child. Thus she bore 8 sons, one after another, and a daughter named Subhadra. So, you know, it says the same thing here. And in the we see in the summary of chapter 3, you know, we see it states there that you know, when Vasudeva returned to his own place, having taken Yogamaya as his daughter. So, you know, the daughter mentioned as the daughter of Vasudeva and Devaki is mentioned as Subhadra. And we also see, you know, we read in, as we're doing chapter 1, that in the notes, the summary notes at the end, the commentaries by the Acharyas, and I think this one's by Sanatana Goswami, it's mentioned in the Markandeya Purana.
Okay, which verse?
This is in the summary notes to the Canto 10, Chapter 1. They're at the end of the chapter, right? There's a whole lot of summary notes where Acharyas have made different comments. And what, in those notes, you'll see that there's a quote from the Markandeya Purana that Yogamaya shall take birth as a daughter of Yashoda and be known as, you know, Vindhya Chalavasini.
Additional
notes. Yeah, additional notes, yeah.
Is it the start of the chapter? Or I thought you first you said chapter 3, but now you said chapter 1. Is it? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, chapter 3 was a different quote.
Okay.
That was, I was quoting the summary, where Vasudev returned to his own place having taken Yogamaya as his daughter. And as we know, that Yogamaya is the one quoted in the Puranas as being, you know, famous, being the daughter of Yashoda named Vindhya Chalavasini. We see in, you know, we've read a couple of these verses of chapter 2, we've read 7 and 8, and in the next verse, number 9, in this chapter 2, it says, all auspicious Yogamaya, I shall then appear with my full 6 opulences as the son of Devaki, and you will appear as the daughter of Mother Yashoda, the queen of Maharaj Nanda. So, you know, it's a very mysterious birth of Krishna, Balaram. We also read, you know, previously that well, we're seeing in this chapter that when Balaram was transferred, then people thought that Devaki, her 7th pregnancy, was a miscarriage. And we also see that the Acharya's comment that we know that Devaki was transferred, Vasudev, seeing that she was pregnant, transferred her to Gokul, to Nanda's place. And then apparently it appeared that
Rahini,
that she may have had a miscarriage, but Balaram was transferred into her womb, and then she gave birth to Balaram. So, you know, the whole thing is very mysterious. You know, Krishna's birth, Balaram's birth, and Subhadra's birth, who's also appears as Krishna's sister. And, you know, in some cases, you know, in some cases also, you know, there's a... in one of Prabhupada's lectures in LA, 1972, he says that Krishna was born to one wife of Vasudev, Balaram was born to another wife of Vasudev, and Subhadra was born to another wife of Vasudev.
Where did this mention?
That's in... it's a lecture in the 19th of August, 1972. And it's a Srimad Bhagavatam lecture, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 16. So there Prabhupada mentions it.
19th August?
19th of August.
What's that?
What's that?
1, 2, 16.
Yeah, 1, 2, 16. So there, just in a comment, Prabhupada saying they're all born to different wives. And there is a quote, I've been trying to find it. I saw it one time where, you know, when Prabhupada's discussing, from memory it was about Subhadra, that she was born to a different wife of Vasudeva. So so, you know, there's a mysterious aspect to Subhadra's birth. We know that Mahamaya, you know, the Kamsa, you know, he was dealing with not Yogamaya, he won't even touch such simple persons, but with Mahamaya. The baby girl, was taken back, but it's also said by the Acharyas that Yogamaya stayed, which would be the Subhadra aspect. And now, whether she stayed as one of the children of one of Vasudeva's other wives would be, you know. So another, all of Vasudeva's wives, you know, many of them went there as well, not just Rahini. And there's a state, I'll come across it, I've been looking for it, but so, you know, if Durga, you know, Durgamaya, Mahamaya goes back, then where's Subhadra come from? So that, you know, then you've got, you know, that. So anyway, so it's very mysterious. But as you can see, there's there's no limitation. Devaki is also being credited as having one daughter. So, you know, these things, there are a few quotes. Gradually as we come along, I've inserted a lot of these into my notes, but as we go along, I'm sure we'll find extra information. But, you know, bear in mind that you'll find when you're telling the story, I don't know if you tell people this story about Krishna's appearance and Balaram and Subhadra, you're trying to tell a simple story and all of a sudden it's like, hang on. It's more complicated than what it appears, doesn't it? So, and there are a lot of mysterious aspects about Krishna's birth and his spiritual potency, Mahamaya, Yogamaya, Balaram, the pregnancy of Rahini, you know, these things here. So that's just now, but you know, if you, as we see, we understand that Yogamaya, we know that Subhadra is Yogamaya, and she's being referred to as the daughter of Vasudeva and Devaki. And we also know that she's being the Yoga Maya is actually being referred to as the daughter of Yashoda. But that Yoga Maya, who Krishna says you will take birth as a daughter of Yashoda, Maha Maya was there also and left. So Maha Maya, Durga, and Yoga Maya were there definitely with Yashoda. And Subhadra, who we know, is when Prabhupada was asked, who is Subhadra? And he said, she's Durga. So that person, and Durga refers to both Yogamaya and Mahamaya. So this is Subhadra. So there's a cross-reference to her being the daughter of both parents. And we know that definitely when Krishna was born to Vasudeva and Devaki, it states that he was born with all four potencies. And therefore, Durga, the one chief potency of the Lord, he was there with all his four potencies, means the chief potency is definitely there. And that is Subhadra, who's also known as Durga, who's Yogamaya Mahamaya. Because I see these quotes with Prabhupada saying that, you know, Krishna is born to one wife of Vasudeva, Balaram born to another wife of Vasudeva, and Subhadra was born to another wife, then, you know, from that statement of Prabhupada, you know, it may also be that the girl, Subhadra, may have when Yoga Maya stayed, it's possible that she may have stayed, you know, within the form of one of other Vasudeva's other wives. That wouldn't surprise me. So there's a few mysteries there. That's about as close as I can understand with my tiny little brain, but I'm just trying to stick within, you know, the quotes that are given. So statements are being given. They seem to be contradictory, so how to work out that is, you know, they're not contradictory, but there's some mysterious happenings. So let's continue on from verse number 8 of the second chapter, but I just thought I'd mention that because we're going to as we come across many different statements, I just want you to be aware of where there may be apparent contradictions, which are not, but there's some mysterious events, so that we have that understanding from the beginning. And I might just pause this. I might just pause that for a moment. So in general, it appears that because we understand that Subhadra is Yogamaya and Mahamaya, the simple way to put that is that just as Krishna can be considered the son of Devaki and Vasudeva and Nanda and Yashoda, that because Krishna was born along with his full potencies, that he can also be considered, Subhadra can also be considered the child of Vasudeva and Devaki and Yashoda and Nanda. That's a simple way to put it. Okay.
Well, that
that daughter who appeared to Kamsa was Mahamaya, who's an expansion of Yogamaya, who we know as Subhadra, has both those features. So the Kamsa wasn't able to come in contact with the Subhadra feature just the Mahamaya feature. When the Bhagavatam, you know, it mentions that that Mahamaya, the personified goddess of the material energy, she would appear in different parts of India in different forms, and those forms are all forms of the material energy, the goddess of the material energy. None of them, you know, she's worshipped as a, in all those forms as a goddess of the material energy. It doesn't say anywhere where she'll be worshipped as yoga, as Yogamaya. You know. So,
when Prabhupada says all the three are born to different mothers, like Krishna was born to Devaki, but since Balaram was born to Rohini, Subhadra was born to Yashoda.
No, he says they were born. They were born to different wives of Vasudeva. So it actually says that Subhadra is born from one of the wives of Vasudeva. You know, so again and again it's stated that Subhadra is the daughter of Vasudeva.
No, I'm confused.
So that quote I said.
Yeah, that kind of but now I'm confused.
What?
I lost the link quickly.
Yeah.
I understood what his argument.
Yeah.
So, but in this statement, I have heard this past time where your
daughter
was born, but when Kamsa was trying to kill the daughter, went up to the sky, as you mentioned. And that is definitely Mahamaya, because obvious names, that's argument.
Yeah.
Now, Subhadra.
So, where is Subhadra?
Yeah.
That's the question. This is what. Well,
yeah, she's in Vrindavan. She
didn't go to Kamsa.
Yeah,
because
Kamsa
can't touch
Kamsa,
it.
Yeah.
But didn't you give a reference before that she was born in Vrindavan?
She stayed in Vrindavan.
She stayed in Vrindavan. Because we know the pastime of Jagannath also, where there are two people who are pretty much common to both the Leelas, Vrindavan and Dwaraka.
Yeah.
One is Mother Rohini
and
Subhadra.
Yeah.
So that.
And I read a quote previously, you know, as well, that Subhadra. So the Mahamaya aspect left.
Is that the nine?
So if Mahamaya, the expansion of Subhadra, the expansion only left Vrindavan.
Left
from
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, just as Krishna himself, the full manifestation of the Lord, appeared in Vrindavan only, but his expansion appeared in Mathura.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
So, Subhadra, her expansion went to Mathura. So then the question is, where is the full manifestation of Subhadra?
She
stayed in Vrindavan. And she went to Dwarka with Krishna.
Yes. So her mother then is Yashoda.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. And it is specifically stated in that quote. From the notes at the end of the first chapter of the 10th canto, it states there that the Markandeya Purana says that, you know, that Yogamaya shall take birth as the daughter of Yashoda. And Krishna himself says to Yogamaya, you will take birth, you know, in text number 9, that I will then appear of my full six opulences as the son of Devaki, and you will appear as the daughter of Mother Yashoda.
Okay, yeah,
so,
yeah.
She, you know, this Yoga Maya, who we know who has two features as Yoga Maya and Mahamaya, appears as the daughter of Yashoda. And the Markandeya Purana, you know, confirms that. There are other different scriptures. And whenever we are, you know, if we look at the references, like if you look at 10.156, in the first, I quoted that she will appear as Subhadra. Yeah, so, you know, Subhadra. Now, here is describing, you know, when it mentions that Yogamaya will appear as the daughter of Yashoda, we know she's Yoga Maya, but it doesn't say she's Subhadra. Do you know of a rest when it says that the daughter of Yashoda, her name is Subhadra? Have you seen that reference?
It's here.
Where is that?
Oh, no, that's not.
Cause of Yoga Maya.
Yeah.
So, what I'm. Now, so we know in, you know, verse 25 of the first chapter, it describes that the Lord's telling Brahma, I will appear, Balaram will appear, and my potency Vishnu Maya will appear. We see in that purport that in the spiritual world, the Lord's potency works as Yoga Maya. In the material world, the same potency works as Mahamaya. Now, all along, whenever we've, up until this point, whenever we've heard Yogamaya coming with her expansion as Mahamaya, she's always been referred to as the daughter of Vasudeva, Subhadra. So the connection is that again, we hear that Yogamaya, the same Yogamaya he asked, you will, you know, transfer Krishna, you'll transfer Balaram, help Krishna to be transferred, then you'll appear as the daughter of Yashoda. So all along this Yoga Maya, the daughter of Vasudeva and Devaki, and the daughter of Yashoda have been referred to as Yoga Maya.
Probably the from the Prabhupada Sikshamrita.
Yeah.
The word Subhadra and Yoga, the connection. Subhadra is Yoga Maya.
Yeah.
The spiritual energy is called Yoga Maya.
Yeah.
And she has 16 different expansions.
Yeah.
Out of the 16 expansions, Subhadra is one.
Yes.
The Mahamaya of the material energy is also expansion of the energy of Yogamaya, and both Yogamaya and Mahamaya are equally important to Krishna, as much as any government department is equally important for the functioning of the government.
Yeah, so that was the quote the letter that I quoted last week. Yeah. Oh, okay. So I quoted that letter of Prabhupada.
Yes.
That we understand that Subhaja. So it's saying there that in that letter, 16 expansions of Yogamaya.
So Subhadra is one of the.
Subhadra is one of them. Yeah. And so we understand that the Lord appeared to Vasudeva and Devaki with his full potencies, which means that Yogamaya was present, along with the personality of Godhead, although she didn't take physical form there. But because the Lord is there with his full potencies, Yogamaya is there. When Krishna was born into Vasudeva and Devaki, it says that he was born with his, what's that?
In Mathura.
He was born with his full potencies. Full potencies meaning that Yogamaya was there. We know that Yogamaya was there because Yogamaya was transferring Balaram to Rohini. Yogamaya was also there helping Vasudeva to carry Krishna. That. So Yogamaya was there in Mathura along with baby Krishna and before baby Krishna.
Yeah, because way back in the start he said that that would be her service.
Yeah. Right? And we know that the daughter of Vasudeva and Devaki is called Subhadra. By the expansions of Yogamaya. So then, so in general, who is the, you know, it definitely stated, who is the daughter of Vasudeva and Devaki?
Subhadra.
And therefore, And there it clearly states it's born to that wife. Yeah. So, and that's the only daughter of that we know, you know, in the past times where Kamsa, the only girl, you know, in the whole story is the one that Kamsa grabs. Tries to grab little Durga Devi, little Mahamaya. So, one of the expansions of Yogamaya is Subhadra, and Subhadra is mentioned as the daughter of Vasudeva and Devaki. And it is described that they had 8 sons and 1 daughter, just the one. Yashoda, then Yogamaya, we know, also is asked to take birth as the daughter of Yashoda, which she does. And Yogamaya stays in Vrindavan and Mahamaya leaves. And Mahamaya appears in many different expansions, right? So we say Yogamaya has many different expansions, and many of those expansions are the different expansions of Mahamaya.
Across
India. So then, Yogamaya stayed in Vrindavan. In what form? Well, we know we're yeah, Purnamasi was Purnamasi is one. So then, if the Mahamaya that Kamsa saw has appeared in different places, where is Vasudeva and Devaki's daughter Subhadra?
Didn't you say?
Later.
So you were saying that
I'm not saying anything. I'm trying to speculate, but the point is there is a missing Subhadra.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what it comes down to. So, but they only had the one daughter, and the daughter is Subhadra. And yet what we see is that the daughter that was born, now, you know, one thing, you know, Prabhupada says this, in the summary of 10th canto, chapter 3, there's mentioned that Vasudeva returned to his palace after giving Krishna, the little boy Krishna, that little baby Krishna entered into the original Krishna with Yashoda, and it says, and then he returned to his own place having taken Yogamaya as his daughter. That's how Prabhupada says it there. But we also see that it sort of mentioned that, you know, the question is how would he sacrifice another person's child to protect his own? So he's taken it as his daughter, but actually we know that she's the daughter of Yashoda. So, and then this Subhadra, who's known as the daughter of Vasudeva and Devaki, she accompanies Krishna and Balaram in there when they go to Dwarka. She lives in Dwarka with them. Who raised her? Where was she living? That's the question, you see. Yeah. Until we get more information, more quotes. You know, you don't necessarily hear of, I haven't heard of any pastimes with Krishna and Balaram and their sister in Vrindavan. Has anyone ever heard? You know, Krishna and his Balaram and his sister were playing. You hear of Krishna and Balaram. You never hear of the sister in Vrindavan with Mother Yashoda or with Rahini.
Where were they playing when they appeared as Jagannath, Subhadra and Balaram? Because isn't this like past time? Was it Rahini was talking?
Yeah, that happened in Dwarka.
In Dwarka, that's all Dwarka. That's why, you know, the closest I can understand is from Prabhupada's quote, where he says that, and we know that Yogamaya, from the Acharya, say Yogamaya stayed in Vrindavan. We know Purnamasi was already there. But Prabhupada says in that lecture, Krishna was born to one of Vasudeva's wives, Balaram was born to one of Vasudeva's wives, and Subhadra was born to another wife. And now we know that Subhadra was actually born to Nanda's wife, not Vasudeva's wife. And
but is there a direct mention that Subhadra was born to Yashoda?
No.
No, that's not there.
That's right. That's not there.
Only Yogamaya mentioned.
Yogamaya. Yogamaya, but not Subhadra. And therefore, Yogamaya, we know, is the daughter of Yashoda. Yogamaya has different expansions, one of them being Subhadra.
Yeah.
And we know that Subhadra is referred to as the daughter of Vasudeva and Devaki, Definitely, the quotes in the Bhagavatam say that very distinctly. Devaki is the mother of Krishna, who appeared along with his potencies. The only way I can reconcile that is that Devaki is definitely the mother of the Lord and along with his potencies, because God was born to her along with his full potencies, so therefore she's the mother of all the demigods and all the Lord's energies in that sense. You know, but in another sense, it may be possible that Subhadra also, as a child, was born to one of Vasudeva's other wives, in a sense of someone who raised that child, who obviously, like Krishna, you know, Krishna went from little baby and gradually grew up and went to Dwarka. Balaram went from a little baby and gradually went to Dwarka, and his sister would have grown up as a little baby, a little girl, and went to Dwarka. Where was that girl? And it doesn't appear that she was with Yashoda Nanda. You don't hear that. You don't hear her being with Vasudeva and Devaki. And the only possibility is she's with another wife of Vasudeva. Yeah. And that's what Prabhupada says that. That is a very small quote. That was the 19th of August 1972 in LA. Prabhupada giving it, I think it was probably answer time, but he was talking Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.16.
All born to different wives.
And that's the one quote where Prabhupada says that Krishna, Balaram and Subhadra were all born to different wives of Vasudeva. So I can understand Subhadra being the daughter of Devaki and Vasudeva, because God and all his potencies were born of Vasudeva and Devaki, and therefore she can definitely be considered the mother of Subhadra. And that is stated in another, and you know, Subhadra's pastimes were mostly in Dwarka. Not she, you know, she's known as Yoga Maya. Who manifests her yoga maya activities in Dwarka, not Vrindavan. And therefore, it's you know, the only way I can understand it is that she was also born in an expansion as, you know, the daughter of one of Vasudeva's other wives, as Prabhupada says, and that she may not have lived in Vrindavan, but, you know, in places, you know, suitable to the Dwarka Mathura mood.
But also the daughter of Yashoda.
No, it doesn't mention, it never mentions that Subhadra. I haven't seen a reference that the yoga maya that appeared as Nanda and Yashoda is ever mentioned as Subhadra. I've never. Yeah. There's a cross reference that she's also yoga maya, but I've not found a quote where Yashoda's baby is called Subhadra. Mm. And, you know, see, when the Acharyas describe that Mahamaya left Vrindavan because she was in a different mood. Her activities were not required for Vrindavan either. But Durga Devi also is Yoga Maya in the arranging the Mathura Dwarka features of Krishna's pastimes. So, you know, whether she's required in Vrindavan is doubtful. It's, you know. And therefore, it would make sense that she was born, as Prabhupada says, one of the other wives of Vasudeva, and was brought up, you know, more in the, perhaps not necessarily in Vrindavan, and later went to Dwarka. So, you know, there's a couple of references, a couple of quotes we need. I haven't seen, if anyone sees that Subhadra is the daughter that was born to Nanda and Yashoda, that'd be very interesting. I haven't come across one.
So the reference that you gave from the Markandeya Purana,
yeah,
does it say that?
No.
No,
it says Yoga Maya.
Okay, so the same as Bhagavad.
Yeah. But we're linking, we know that Yoga Maya is the same one chief potency, but she does have different expansions. And there's another, from memory, there's another quote I have, Prabhupada mentioning that, and from memory, that, you know, Subhadra is born from a different wife of Vasudeva. I can't find it, but you know, I've got this one here, but there's another one somewhere. So, but it's important to know these mysterious events, because if you're telling the story one day and someone says, no, well, I've read that it's like this, what are you going to say? You look like a bit of a fool. And then how do you tell the story in a simple way, you know, without getting, you know, because generally, you know, if you say to people, you know, Durga Devi is Krishna's sister, and most people acknowledge that, yes, Durga is Krishna's sister, though they're, you know, but if you said, but she was born to Yashoda, you know. So there's, that's the art. As you see with Prabhupada's books, he doesn't answer every single thing, because sometimes you just need a simple version of something, and other things you have to, you know, will come up later in different commentaries and what have you. But you actually have to be able to tell the story to the average person and the average devotee. That has to be done without getting too complicated. But we have to be aware of where the complications are and be careful how we tread on that. Mm-hmm. And then but the complications are because we're dealing with the appearance of the personality of Godhead and his four spiritual potencies, along with the material energy. So, so we're going back to second chapter, text number. So as you notice, girls and boys, that we're all sitting at a good space from each other. All right? So no one...
We need another table.
Another table?
For
are you sitting on the floor?
Sit on the
she's fine.
Floor.
She's happy.
I sit better on the table.
She likes it.
Because there's tables out there. But then I don't want to disrupt the class.
No, you'll notice. There's no trouble at all. I'll get it myself. No. Are you getting? Yeah. Good. Excellent. All right.
Sorry.
No, it's not a problem.
So just one question. Just in the in text 7,
mm-hmm.
You mentioned that in that very beautiful land where many sows reside, Rohini, the wife of Vasudeva, is living at the home of Nanda Maharaj.
Mm.
Other wives of Vasudeva are also living there incognito because of the fear of Kamsa.
Mm-hmm.
So that means Kamsa was creating trouble,
yes,
for Vasudeva and other kings, yeah, even before this prophecy was made from the sky that the eighth child will kill, right? Is that correct? Because on one hand, Kamsa is getting Vasudeva married to Devaki and then he's driving the chariot. But then at the same time, it is mentioned that the presumably already married wives of Vasudeva are living in the house of Nanda Maharaj. Is that correct?
At this point here, Some of the wives of Vasudev and Rahini are living with Nanda. We heard in the last chapter that after the killing of the six children, Narada Muni, we've got two things. After the Vasudev gave back the first child, Narada Muni appears. And he says things that the demigods are appearing and you were previously Kalanami and so many different things. So at that stage, he decided he would kill the six children. And then after that, his advisors also gave him some advice that made him also become more vehement in wanting to, they were telling how he should, because the demigods have taken birth amongst the Brishnis and the Yadus, they should begin to persecute them all. Right, so that was after the killing of the sixth child. That's when a lot of the persecutions, particularly of the Yadus and the Brishnis. So Kamsa was certainly a fearful sort of a person before that, but a particular persecution of the Yadus and the Brishnis began after the killing of the six children when he was advised by his advisors and therefore, okay, let's kill any of the babies and let's kill any of them. Now, as far as I can remember, it was at that stage that Vasudev, seeing Rahini pregnant and seeing the situation, sent her to Nanda's residence. So she would have had to be the, Vasudev would have had to have understood that she's pregnant. So it would, there's some months in that, isn't there? And then he sent her. So at this stage, the persecutions have begun. Vasudev has seen Rahini pregnant, and then he has sent her. And other wives may have been there earlier, and other wives may have come at the same time of Rahini. Most likely, most of them, when those persecutions began, after he heard from his advisors.
That was after the six.
After six children, yeah. And
is Devaki the first wife of Vasudev, or second, third, fourth?
I don't know. I haven't. I'm not sure that there's that list in the ninth canto. Oh no. As far as I understand, she's the chief wife, along with Rahini. But I don't know exactly the order. Usually, the first is. But, there's a reference somewhere else in the Bhagavatam that names all of Vasudev's wives. And it may be mentioned there. I think it comes later in this 10th canto. Say that again.
If Vasudev had previous wives, they would all be present in the marriage of Devaki in general.
They would be present.
Yes, and they are not mentioned as being present, so Devaki appears to be the first wife.
I don't know.
But see, this it says already in the seventh verse that the other wives were living incognito with Nand Maharaj.
Mm.
And obviously, Vasudev has been in prison since he was married to Devaki. So then, obviously, he didn't get married again after that.
No.
So then, she's not the first wife. She's the second, third, or she's definitely not the first, because Rohini was already there, and there were a few others, and then so because Vasudev and Devaki have been in prison ever since they got married.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Vishvanatha Chakravarti, the cause purport to the seventh verse of this seventh chapter, was that after Devaki's six children were killed, Vasudev, seeing Rohini pregnant, sent her secretly to Nanda and Gokul. And so, it appears that Rohini, possibly others, were there in those 6 years. It doesn't sound like Vasudev was separated from his other wives all that time. Some of them may have been there with him. Rohini being pregnant let's see. Rohini being pregnant, and it appears that Rohini just had the one son. So it appears that Devaki is bearing children before, before Rohini. Generally, generally the first wife you bear children with, and then, in order like that, then other wives, because it gives the first wife the most prominent claim to inheritances and things like that. Devaki, because she's bearing children before Rohini, would indicate she's, has first preference as a senior wife, or the first wife sort of thing, or like that. So, No, I haven't seen that she. I've never heard that she has any other children.
So you're saying that means that she's Devaki's most likely the first wife.
Yeah, usually the principal wives bear children first. That's the Vedic culture. Devaki's been bearing children for 6 years, and then after that, Rohini, Vasudev sees that she is pregnant. And it's quite possible, as we said, that Prabhupada says that Subhadra was born to a different wife of Vasudev. There may be another wife who's also pregnant.
So if Vasudev married Devaki,
who would be the youngest sister of Krishna anyway,
and they went straight into prison?
Yes, but they didn't go to a prison. They were
in the palace.
In the palace.
Yes, that's right. But it was guarded by soldiers, so it was like a prison.
That's right. But it was literally they lived in a palace with the facility of a palace, and they had a little bit more free reign. It was after the advisors mentioned. I think it was after that point. It was either after. It was either after Narada or that mentioned what he mentioned, that they were then shackled. So, but for some time, they were unshackled. But the fact that Rohini was pregnant after 6 years means that Vasudeva was actually able to unite with any of the wives that were with him, and other wives could be with him. And at that stage, we know that Rohini got pregnant. The acharyas say that pregnancy, when she went to Vrindavan, it apparently failed, and then Balaram was transferred there anyway. But it's quite possible that another wife of Vasudev gave birth to Subhadra.
Where?
As a youngest. Well, she's considered the younger sister of Krishna, and so she may have got pregnant just a little after Vasudev, after Devaki, manifested Krishna within her womb. But as you can see, there's a lot more to the story than we have all the information to. But we do just have to go on the statements that Prabhupada makes, and see the possible understanding of that, and be careful of jumping to conclusions. Until we see that Subhadra is the child born to Shodrananda, we could say, well, Yogamaya took birth as the daughter, she must be Subhadra because Subhadra is Yogamaya. We've got to be careful of making assumptions, but just sticking to what fits in with the statements that are there, and knowing that there's a little bit more than what we can, fully understand. And some things we may never. But there's a lot there, isn't there? The thing to do is to keep referring to what's there. What is there? You have to keep referring to that and never speculate. And usually it's there's a little statement that you really just didn't think meant anything, but it means all the difference. And therefore it's a matter of becoming very familiar. I was saying to Srimurti that, since we began this canto, every time I drive, I listen to the first four chapters of the Krishna book by Prabhupada. Every time I drive, I just listen to those same four chapters. And every time I hear, I think, oh my God, I've heard that so many times, but just click, you know, that's a very important thing. So, yeah. And as we sit here and discuss a pastime that's probably been discussed by devotees, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times, and you can see how many different gaps would be in their understanding of what's going on, you know. Because it's okay if a devotee just has one or two references and they quote that, but as soon as someone else who's read other references says, oh, but it says this, then all of a sudden, oh, no, that can't be right because I read this. Yeah, but that's all there, I'll show you. Oh, it is too. Oh, my goodness, I'm halfway through a class and I don't know what to do. And so there's no use racing through it. This is one of the reasons I, you know, because we're a very small group, I'm hoping we can just continue on with our, I don't see, of course, if anyone ever, you know, gets ill, please stay home. Don't come, listen to it on the internet. But I don't see any reason why, you know, in a small group like this, we can't just continue on, and that's my hope. Because there's so much to, you know, is this a medical, what's that? A medical question?
Basically, I had a little bit of throat pain.
Out.
I called up the health authority.
Yes.
And I said, what should I do? Where should I go? I need to do any screening.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me two questions.
Mm.
Because it's an automatic machine.
Yeah.
Have you come from abroad? I said, no. I've not come from abroad.
Mm.
Have you met anybody who has come from abroad? I said, no, not that I know of.
Mm.
But I go to the market and everywhere.
That's right. And
they just cut off.
Srimurti, the one about the breathing, what was that? That's an important one.
You hold your breath and count to 10, and if you don't have any difficulties, then that's a sign.
That's a prime symptom.
Or not prime, but that's one of the signs. That
yeah, because it gives you fibrositis of the lungs.
It does, but it's like Mataji was thinking, the throat is one of...
An indicator, yeah.
See, Prabhu, that's all will come by the fourth day, fifth day.
Yeah.
All the symptoms, Mataji saying, come from the fourth day, fifth day. First day, you don't get it.
No.
By the time, you've infected many people.
Yeah.
If you want to catch a person immediately, actually, that's why I was late.
Well, what he was talking about was actually the illness can already, somebody can have it, not be aware of it. And it manifests as scar tissue in the lungs. That's fibrosis. So, and then basically what happens is your mucus causes congestion in the nose and it feels like water, you know, like you're basically suffocating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you do have to be careful. So that breathing technique to see if you can hold your breath for 10 seconds without any difficulty is actually a good thing
to
do.
Thank you. So, now verse number 8, we looked at the Sadgarbha situation, and there's another aspect here that the question may be asked, how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always situated transcendentally, could enter the womb of Devaki, which had previously been entered by the six Asuras, the Sadgarbhas. Does this mean that the Sadgarbha Asuras were equal to the transcendental body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The following answer is given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the core. Now, in summary, we get this quotation of from the Bhagavad Gita 9:4-5, that by me in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them, and yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence, although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, myself is the very source of creation. So this is the understanding of the personality of Godhead, that he always remains the source of everything. And in that state, Prabhupada says very simply, he is not everywhere. Right? Because everything is an expansion of him, therefore he's not everywhere. Because it's an expansion of him. So it's very simple. Everything's coming from him. Therefore, he's not there because everything is coming from him. So it's a very simple statement. Everything rests upon him and yet does not rest upon him. Chinchibeda beta tattva. Such truths cannot be understood, however, unless one is a pure devotee. Everyone here must be a pure devotee. You're all nodding. So, and we also understand, of course, that from the example of the Sadgarbhas, that because devotees are situated in devotional service and they always fear association with the material energy, therefore they become purified of association with the material energy, and they become situated on the transcendental platform. And it is that transcendental situation within the heart in which the Lord appears. And that we understood from the example of the Sadgarbhas. And Prabhupada summarizes the very end of that purport. In other words, when one awakens his natural Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna appears. So there's no question of the law of there being any contamination when the Lord appears, and at the same time the Lord can appear anywhere, and at the same time he is not there, because he's everywhere by the expansion of his transcendental energies and the manifestations and transformations of his energies. Now, and now, in verse number 9, another very important aspect is that says that Balaram was only 15 days older than Krishna. By the blessings of Krishna, Yogamaya became the daughter of Mother Yashoda. But by the supreme will, she was not able to enjoy the parental love of her father and mother. Krishna, however, although not actually born from the womb of Mother Yashoda, enjoyed the parental love of Mother Yashoda and Nanda. By the blessings of Krishna, Yogamaya was able to achieve the reputation of being the daughter of Mother Yashoda, who also became famous by the blessings of Krishna. Yashoda means one who gives fame. So there, you know, interesting purport.
Isn't that confusing?
It is. That's, yeah, what I'm about. Because yeah.
You are saying with references,
yep,
that actually Nishtha gave birth to twins.
Yes.
So that means Krishna, actually the actual Krishna was born for Yashoda.
Yeah, that's not common knowledge. So that's confidential understanding.
And then when Vasudev brings that, you said that's more of Vasudev Krishna, then he merges with the Krishna.
Yeah, that's right.
So now they're saying that Yashoda is not given birth.
Well, not really, because Vasudev Krishna was not born to Yashoda. So it's actually true. Now, what Prabhupada is doing here, and this is very important, and this is what I said before, when you tell a story, you have to stick to the, you know, in your explanations, you actually have to stick to the principle. Storyline that's not going to confuse people who don't have confidential spiritual knowledge. And sometimes I see this I've seen this, you know, when people are giving classes, you know, on a festival day, Krishna's appearance, Lord Ramchandra. Devotees want to show, oh, so many confidential pastimes I know, and it's just a mess of confusion. I sit there and I listen, I'm thinking, I'm struggling to keep up with them. What are these people going to be thinking? They always have so many doubts. And it's just contradiction after contradiction and so many things. Very important to just stick to the, you know, the very main things that people need to know. It doesn't matter whether you've got a room full of sannyasis who have been on a, you know, 6 month, you know, what they call it, you know, seminar in Vrindavan discussing the intimate pastimes. Even if you're speaking to them, you just, if there are people in the audience who, you know, along with them, you actually have to just tell the basic story and the basic purports. And that's what Prabhupada is doing. And we have to learn that from him. And I tell you, quite often, I get very, you know, I literally can't listen when devotees do that on festival days, and you've got all these general people and they're telling these pastimes, which are confidential past. And the main thing, they're not even saying. The main thing that they need to hear, even the general devotees need to hear, they're not saying. So that's all Prabhupada is doing. It has already been said that Krishna was born to Vasudeva and Devaki. That's been stated since the ninth canto. Now why would, you know, Prabhupada's just going to put something in there about the confidential understanding? He's not going to do that. And Vasudeva Krishna was not born to Mother Yashoda. She was actually born to Vasudeva and Devaki. Therefore, he can say. And he's just following, you know, and as we said, we discussed previously about the confidential pastime of Brahma, because it says there that actually even the demigods don't see Vishnu. And we discussed the pastime where Brahma, along with Vishnu and some of the chief demigods, went to see Krishna. Now, you tell that story, even in a Bhagavatam class or at a festival, it shouldn't be told. What people should understand is that it's very, very rare for even the demigods to even see Vishnu or to speak of Krishna. They must hear that, because what is their misunderstanding? Already Krishna is you know, an ordinary person, and the stories about Krishna are basically, you know, it's all myth and legend anyway. So yes, there's so many stories and everyone's got their interpretation. That's their opinion. So as soon as you start mixing things up, so, and that's why, actually, one of our usual visitors, who's not here today, a couple of weeks ago, invited another visitor in saying, you should come and hear this. And after 15 minutes, I saw that person had to get up and leave. And I went up to her later. She's initiated a devotee. And she said, it was too much. I couldn't understand anything, you know. And I knew she wouldn't, and I was glad she left. So, you know, they just confuse people. So Prabhupada is, you know, what he's doing is not a contradiction. It's actually following the actual line of the mood of what should be given in the Bhagavatam. Other confidential things are discussed amongst devotees who understand the basics, and then can accept the confidential teachings. Very important. Especially on festival days. You know, and if you listen to Prabhupada give a class on Radharani, you know, somewhere usually at the end of a class, he'll mention Radharani in a 2 or 3 sentences, done. He'll say something very nice, confidential, but you can relate it to the 90% of the class, which is you're not this body, you know, this, that and the other like that. And then a little bit about Radharani, which is really confidential. But you can actually, then you can pick that up, and then he's off again to something. He doesn't hang around there too long. So there's a reason for this. I'm very hesitant, you know, to, you know, because I'm more critical of myself. I, you know, hardly want to read other acharyas' books in here, but I'm understanding that the devotees will, you know, as a constantly repeat. It is so that we can understand what is in Prabhupada's books, like that, but I don't want, and that there's, you know, there are more confidential aspects to it, like that, and how to, you know, the devotees at this stage should know how to look at books by the acharyas, which go into very confidential things, which appear to contradict what Prabhupada has taught us, and be able to, you know, see, no, this is fully in line. So, you know, devotees have to be on that level to do that. Otherwise, we should be very careful of even quoting other acharyas or confidential pastimes which are there. So Prabhupada is a very good, you know, method that Prabhupada is teaching for a particular reason. So then he goes on to say that, you know, so basically here we see that yoga maya, and of course that's the spiritual energy of the Lord, she was not able to enjoy the parental love of her father and mother, and Krishna, however, not born from the womb of Mother Yashoda, enjoyed the parental love of Mother Yashoda. Now, so that is, and we understand that from the acharyas also, that in that point, that Yogamaya actually stayed in Vrindavan. And it was the Mahamaya aspect that left Vrindavan. So there's, you know, Prabhupada is fully competent, because we know, you know, when you've studied Prabhupada's purports, you'll know that he's read all the acharya's purports, you know. And he could very easily insert a whole lot of things there because he knows what's the confidential, but he's not. He's going to keep a nice flow. There's a nice flow, simplicity. And even that simple flow is difficult for people to comprehend. yes. You know, on our subjects with Yoga Maya and Subhadra and you know, Yashoda's daughter, in commenting on verse 9, Vishwanath Chakravarti, the Course, says this. But your yoga maya will simply appear from Yashoda. It is not mentioned that she will become the daughter of Yashoda, though it is mentioned that Krishna will become the son of Devaki. Yashoda will not have affection for you as her daughter. This means that her presence in Braja will not be noticed by anyone. Just here. Vishvanatha Chakravarti, the cause commentary to verse 9. All right, so we just heard how Yogamaya will not enjoy the parental love of Yashoda and Nanda.
She'll remain invisible.
Yeah, Vishvanatha Chakravarti, the core, is giving a little bit more confidential understanding. And as we said, but still, Srila Prabhupada is presenting those commentaries in just a straightforward way for the average reader. That saying that it is not mentioned that she will become the daughter of Yashoda, though it is mentioned that Krishna will become her son, the son of Devaki. Yashoda will not have affection for you as her daughter. This means that her presence in Braja will not be noticed by anyone. So, you know, Prabhupada says it very simply, by the blessings of Krishna, Yogamaya became the daughter of Mother Yashoda, but by the supreme will, she was not able to enjoy the parental love of her father and mother. And then later he says, by the blessings of Krishna, Yogamaya was able to achieve the reputation of being the daughter of Mother Yashoda, who also became famous by the blessings of Krishna. So she has the reputation of being the daughter of Yogamaya. But her presence is not seen by anyone in Braja. And, you know, which makes me tend to, you know, put weight on that you know, statement of Prabhupada that Vasudeva, Krishna, Balaram, Subhadra born to each different wives of Vasudeva. Subhadra was born to one of the wives of Vasudeva. So Yogamaya, we know that Yogamaya is there within Purnamasi, but she didn't remain there as a little daughter. That's the point of it. Okay, so then we get up to verse 10. By sacrifices of animals, ordinary human beings will worship you gorgeously with various paraphernalia because you are supreme in fulfilling the material desires of everyone. And as Prabhupada mentions, you know, this Yogamaya, who has the reputation of being the daughter of Yashoda, but does not stay there to enjoy any of those pastimes, then in her expansion as Durga Devi, she will be worshipped as Mahamaya in various places. And Prabhupada mentions, one who has forgotten the real aim of life may worship goddess Durga, Maya Shakti, under various names, for different purposes and in different places. As there are many holy places for the worship of Krishna, there are also many holy places in India for the worship of Durga Devi or Maya Devi, who took birth as the daughter of Yashoda. After cheating Kamsa, Maya Devi dispersed herself to various places, especially in Vindhyachala, to accept regular worship from ordinary men. And Prabhupada mentions also in that purport, after cheating Kamsa, Maya Devi dispersed herself to various places, especially in Vindhyachala. So she was especially meant for cheating Kamsa. Verses 11 and 12. Lord Krishna blessed Maya Devi by saying, in different places on the surface of the earth, people will give you different names such as Durga, Bhadrakali, Vijaya, Vaishnavi, Kumuda, Chandika, Krishna, Madhavi, Kanyika, Maya, Narayani, Ishani, Sharada, and Ambika. So such names as that. There may be others. Mostly in India, you know, I don't think I've ever met persons outside of ISKCON who understand that this is the same Durga. They generally, when you say to them, they say, oh, we worship Chandika. And I say, Durga. And they're like, you know, they don't understand it's the same person. You know, Sharada. I met someone the other day that worshipped Sharada. And they see Sharada as Sarasvati. I asked him, you know, who's Sharada?
It's another name for Saraswati.
As another name for Sarasvati as well. So, and because it's the name of Sarasvati, and I said, so they accepted it as Sarasvati, and I said, who is Sarasvati's husband? I said, we don't know. I said, Lord Brahma. So, and then I asked him, who's Krishna's sister? We don't know. Durga. Oh, yes, yes. So, you know, what fascinates me is that, you know, these families, villages, have been worshipping for thousands of years. And you ask them a simple question and they have no idea what to do. What's that?
It says that she disappeared to various places, especially in Vindhyachala.
Vindhyachala.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you then. Anyone know where Vindhyachala is? Well, there's the Vindhyachala hills, isn't there? Some Vindhyachala. Yeah. Is that famous for sandalwood? Mm. No, that's
Malaya.
Malaya. Yeah. I've heard the name before, but it's obviously a famous place in India, but yes, but especially there. Mm. Mm. Yeah. So, but this is very important to us that, you know, because when people mention one of these names, I immediately know who it is from the Bhagavatam. more than who they know who it is. And it helps me what to speak to them about. Bhadrakali, one time I was doing a ceremony, someone put a picture of Bhadrakali on my altar. Is that all right? I thought, well, you've done it now, haven't you? What am I going to say? Get it off, you know. So anyway, I offer everything to Krishna, and then I offer the prasad to Bhadrakali, and, you know, that's how I deal with it. Okay, so so as Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book, since you will appear as my contemporary sister and since you will quickly satisfy desires for sense gratification, people within the world will worship you with all kinds of valuable presentations. I like the way he puts it. All right. Two reasons. Some people do worship Durga as Krishna's sister, and I've been to homes in you know, western suburbs and what have you. They have a beautiful big deity of Krishna and then next to, you know, nice deity of Durga, and they worship them both together. And as we heard previously, or maybe even in this purport, that, you know, Prabhupada mentions in this purport that some worship the Shakti, Durga, some worship Krishna, and some worship both. And I've actually seen that. But some worship them because they understand the connection with Krishna, as Krishna's sister. But as Prabhupada puts in the Krishna book, it's because she satisfies the desires for sense gratification, therefore they worship her. Yes. Now, because people are generally interested in material enjoyment, Krishna, Prabhupada says, because Krishna and his energy appeared simultaneously, people have generally formed two groups, the Shaktas and the Vaishnavas. And sometimes there is rivalry between them. Essentially, those who are interested in material enjoyment are Shaktas, and those interested in spiritual salvation and attain the spiritual kingdom are called Vaishnavas. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra indicates worship of the Supreme Lord's energy, Hara. A Vaishnava prays to the energy of their Lord for the opportunity to serve the Lord along with his spiritual energy. Thus, Vaishnavas all worship such deities as Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayan, and Rukmini Dwarkadish, whereas Durga Shaktas worship the material energy under different names. And Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book, Krishna and Yoga Maya appeared as brother and sister, the supreme powerful and the supreme power. And again, this is a very interesting point, because Krishna is generally known as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, who was then taken to foster parents. And Durga Devi is generally known as the daughter of Yashoda, so they're not actually brother and sister in that sense, right? He's staying in a foster parent's home, and that doesn't make her his sister. Right. So there are a lot of... There has to be quite a complete, you know, spiritual understanding of many factors to be able to... Otherwise, it appears as just one contradiction after the other. Everyone knows. You know, if you say to people in India generally, you know, whenever I say to people, who's Krishna's sister, and they don't know, I say Durga, they go, oh, yes. But they actually had different parents. It wasn't one of Vasudeva's wives, but that they're accepted as that. So she is famous as Krishna's sister. There's no account of her growing up with him, except in Dwarka, where he was accepted as my sister, and yet they had different parents. And we understand, how is that possible? Krishna was also born from Yashoda, And also, when Krishna was born from Vasudeva and Devaki, he was born with, along with his full potencies, which means that Yogamaya was there. So, but quite often people don't think about these to question these things. I sometimes find, you know, difficult getting through a purport because I question everything. Yeah. And then I can't move on until I've actually found the answer. So, you know, I'll quite often sit there reading something and I've got 20 books out, you know. Prabhupada said this here and I've got the laptop there, you know. But go on, yeah.
If my memory is correct, in the Krishna book, when Krishna actually appears, he appears as first with four arms, and then on the first of the Devaki, he hides two of his arms.
Yes.
And then Prabhupada makes a comment that this shows that Krishna with the two arms is the original Supreme Person of Godhead. But I couldn't quite understand how appearing as with four hands and then hiding the two hands showed that Krishna is two-handed form of the original Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Because people don't accept the two-handed form of Krishna as being God. Because he's so human-like, then he must be a manifestation of material energy and goodness. And as we'll see in the prayers of Devaki to Krishna after he's born, she says, "You, in all your forms and expansions, are the original personality of Godhead." So, how you take it is this: is that if they establish that the forearm form, the personality of Godhead, has appeared, and he transforms himself into a two-armed form, it means he's the same. He is the same original personality of Godhead. Mm-hmm. Right? That's how you take it.
Okay. Well, I thought Srila Prabhupada was making the point that Krishna, with two hands, is the original form of Godhead.
Any form of God is the same person and is the original personality of Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. And that's the point that Devaki makes to Krishna in her prayers. Any form of the Lord is God, and he is the personality, the original personality of Godhead, the origin of everything. That's the point. Prabhupada mentions, you know, if you want to, later in this purport, why she's known by different names. We'll just maybe just very, very, and this again, so how much information that when you, you know, if someone says to me, you know, we worship Sharada, we worship this one, in my mind, I'm trying to, any information I get from Prabhupada's books is useful. You know, because you know how to relate to these people. Even you have more understanding than they do. You know what they understand, and even more, there's a certain mood. So, for instance, you know, we go through. Maya is known as Durga because she is approached with great difficulty. Bhadra because she is auspicious. You know, so you can imagine someone going to worship Bhadra because they want a baby. Something auspicious. Right? Kali, because she is deep blue. Because she is the most powerful energy, she is known as Vijaya. So, you know, one may want to conquer one's enemies. Because she is one of the different energies of Vishnu, she is known as Vaishnavi. So those who can relate it to Vaishnavs may have some sense there. Because she enjoys in this material world and gives facility for material enjoyment, she is known as Kumuda. Because she is very severe to her enemies and Asuras, she is known as Chandika. And because she gives all sorts of material facilities, she is called Krishna. Now, when Prabhupada is discussing the chapter where Kamsa gets the omen in his Krishna book, and how he deals with Devaki, Kamsa is eventually chastised by Durga, he goes, thus ends this chapter of the Yomin of Chandika. The Yomin of Chandika. So, you know, when he's reciting the Krishna book, that we know the demigods gave an omen. Prabhupada is saying the omen of Chandika, and she chastises Kamsa. So you see here that because she is very severe to her enemies, they're sure she is known as Chandika. It does help you to, you know, there's Bhadra, auspicious, in Kali, because she's deep blue. So anyway, let's go on to verse 13. The son of Rohini will be celebrated as Sankarshan because of being sent from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. He will be called Rama because of his ability to please the inhabitants of Gokul, and he will be known as Balabhadra because of his extensive physical strength. Now, so, in the purport, we see that there are some reasons why Balarama is known as Sankarshan. These are some of the reasons why Balarama is known as Sankarshan. Balarama, or sometimes Ram. In the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, people sometimes object when Rama is accepted as Balaram. But although devotees of Lord Rama may object, they should know that there is no difference between Balaram and Lord Rama. Here Srimad Bhagavatam clearly states that Balaram is also known as Rama. Therefore, it is not artificial for us to speak of Lord Balaram as Lord Rama. Jayadeva Goswami also speaks of the three Ramas, Parashuram, Raghupati Ram, and Balaram. All of them are Ramas. And hence, you know, that the answer to the previous question, that any forms of the Lord we can call the original personality of Godhead.
But is it Parashuram or Shakti?
He's also known as Ram. And we can refer to Ram in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as any one of those Rams. Even if it's a Shaktivesh avatar, because Shaktivesh avatar means that the living entity is empowered by the original personality of God. So, Prabhupada gives a little bit more in the Krishna book. He says, on account of being forcibly attracted to the womb of Rohini, so we know that Yogamaya attracted him to the womb of, therefore he'll be known as Sankarshan, and will be the source of all spiritual power, or Bala, by which one can attain the highest bliss of life, which is called Ramana. And Prabhupada explains, very important, that one cannot attain the supreme platform of self-realization without being sufficiently favored by Balaram. Bala does not mean physical strength. He says that very clearly because many persons who comment on the scriptures say that it does mean physical strength. And therefore, one should keep oneself healthy. And in some cases, the bogus rascals, gurus, say that one should also eat meat. So So no one can attain spiritual perfection by physical strength. One must have the spiritual strength which is infused by Balaram or Sankarshan. Ananta or Sesha is the source of the power which sustains all the planets in their different positions. Materially, this sustaining power is known as the law of gravitation, but actually it is displayed, a display of the potency of Sankarshan. Balaram, or Sankarshan, is the source of spiritual power, or the original spiritual master. And we see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, by my energy, all the planets are kept in their orbit. That is done through Sankarshan, or Balaram. And that is what, and Ananta Sesha is one of the forms of Sankarshan, not different from Sankarshan. And that is why when we do the Bhumi Puja, we place the Sesha Naga in the pit after being worshipped to sustain his sustaining energy for that property. So such potency that he, and I say to people, I tell them this, how when you say to them that in his form is Ananta Sesha, he sustains all the universes and the planets, and they say yes, yes. And we say, so I don't think you'll have any problem sustaining your one little property here. And they feel very confident. Now, Balaram or Sankarshan is the source of spiritual power or the original spiritual master, so he sustains the spiritual platform as well. Therefore, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is also the incarnation of Balaram, is the original spiritual master. And we heard that the manifestation of Braja is a manifestation of the Sandini Shakti. Yeah. And that would be the Sandini Shakti of Balaram. Sankarshan. So the spiritual master is a representative of Balaram, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who supplies spiritual strength. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is confirmed that the spiritual master is a manifestation of Krishna's mercy. So physical and material strength, as we said, it is the energy of Sankarshan which sustains all the planets in their orbit. Otherwise, as Prabhupada says, if you take a handful of dust, you throw it up and it just all falls down. Why the planets are floating? Because Krishna is holding them in his hand, in that form of Sankarshan's energy. Spiritual strength also, just like we have this coronavirus. And one of the main, those who are most vulnerable are those with the weaker immune system. So many people will get it, but it's those with a weaker immune system will have the greatest difficulty. In general, the strength of the immune system is given by following four regular principles. No illicit sex is one, is the prime keeper of the vitality and immune system. Not, taking intoxications and eating, foods in tamaguna, eating sattvic foods and eating in a sattvic way, in a regulated way, not with greed. The four regular principles, the principles of the Gita, one's Krishna consciousness, that sattvic mode of life, and those principles actually give the devotees the best chance of even having the physical immune strength in their immune system. And those who don't follow those principles, even young persons, are constantly on a daily basis, smashing their immune system like that. And that makes him very vulnerable. So actually, you can see how the strength of Balaram, following the orders of the spiritual master, actually gives him a strength in many, many different ways, physically and spiritually. Text 14. Thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya immediately agreed.
Yeah.
Okay, from the Krishna book, chapter 2. Sorry. But as you see, here's Prabhupada's purport. And as you can see, there's quite a lot in Prabhupada's Krishna book that's not even in his purport. And it's very important to, you know, there's so much in that Krishna book it's important to take advantage of that. Thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya immediately agreed. With the Vedic mantra Om, she confirmed that she would do what he asked. Thus having accepted the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she circumambulated him and started for the place on earth known as Nanda Gokul. There she did everything just as she had been told. Prabhupada says, after receiving the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya twice confirmed her acceptance by saying, "Yes, sir, I shall do as you order," and then saying Om. Right, so Om is a Vedic confirmation as well. It's like, you know, we might say, and that's the truth. So, and now, when the child of Devaki was attracted and transferred into the womb of Rohini by Yogamaya, Devaki seemed to have a miscarriage. Thus all the inhabitants of the place loudly lamented, "Alas, Devaki has lost her child." And Prabhupada mentions in his purport, Kamsa joined in compassion, you know, when everyone was lamenting, thinking that perhaps because of drugs or some other external means, Devaki has undergone this abortion. And Vishwanath Chakravarti, the course says, the citizens suspected that Kamsa must have done some black magic to cause the apparent miscarriage. And in the Harivamsa, we get this information. At midnight, while Rohini was sleeping, deeply sleeping, she experienced as if in a dream that she had undergone a miscarriage. After some time, when she woke, she saw that this had indeed happened, and she was in great anxiety. But Yogamaya then informed her, "Oh, auspicious lady, your child is now being replaced. I am attracting a child from the womb of Devaki, and therefore your child will be known as Sankarshan." So we see there that both Devaki has had a miscarriage, as the way Prabhupada puts it, she had a dream, Rohini, that she'd had a miscarriage, and Prabhupada said when she woke, she saw that this had actually indeed happened. See? And therefore, Balaram entered her womb.
Sorry, so Rohini had a miscarriage?
Both of them.
So at that time, Rohini was actually pregnant?
She was pregnant. So all starting to make sense, isn't it?
Was it the
Harivamsa? Yeah, and I was reciting that from Prabhupada's actual purport to text number 15.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I'll read a little bit from Prabhupada's Krishna book. Again, where we're getting not just a repetition of the same old, but we're getting something extra. Every time Prabhupada has an opportunity to write or speak, there's always something special about it, even if he's saying the same thing. That's the spiritual potency. It's ever fresh. When Yoga Maya, the supreme power of the supremely powerful personality of Godhead, transferred Lord Sesha from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, both Devaki and Rohini were under Yogamaya's spell, which is called Yoga Nidra. The word Yoga Nidra is significant. When one is spiritually reconnected through self-realization, one regards his material life as having been like a dream, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 269. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled, and the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. That's very nice. So now we're getting a really nice understanding of the deep import of that verse from the Bhagavad Gita, and applied here, how the Yoga Maya, and Prabhupada says, the stage of self-realization is called Yoga Nidra. All material activities appear to be a dream when one is spiritually awakened. Thus, Yoga Nidra may be explained to be Yoga Maya. So this Yoga Nidra, you know, we take it as like a spiritual sleep. But actually, it's a state of spiritual awakening when you can perceive the spiritual sleep that you may have apparently been under, or other living entities. So it's like being in a dream and knowing you're in a dream. So being awake and at the same time dreaming and perceiving it. You're looking at the dream, knowing I'm dreaming this. So Yoga Nidra is actually a state of awakening, although it appears to be, it's usually we take it as a state of sleep. And that state of awakening, and we'll see in Vasudeva's prayers to Kamsa that he describes, you know, don't be too attached to the particular bodies because they are like a dream state. And so we get, you know, bear this in mind because this is what he's referring to.
So you're saying we perceive the spiritual while seeing the material as a dream?
Yes, you're fully spiritually awake. And the material aspect, which you thought was awakening, you're seeing, you can perceive it still and you can understand, oh, that's the dream. Whereas we usually take it as a spiritual sleep, and we're actually asleep and there's something spiritual going on as well that we're vaguely aware of. But that was, that's another, you know, beautiful piece of transcendental nectar from Prabhupada's Krishna book. Chapter 2. Basically, all of these aspects of what I'm reading from Krishna book are lined up with these exact verses. And these Prabhupada's commentaries to these verses, a little extra in his Krishna book. What's that? The Yoga Nidra. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so basically, yeah, I read something from chapter 2, Yoga Nidra. Yeah, Prabhupada said, when Yoga Maya, this is the Krishna book here, the supreme power or the supreme powerful person, I've got it, transferred Lord Sesha from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. Both Devaki and Rohini were under Yoga Maya's spell, which is called Yoga Nidra. And then, therefore, in the purport, the Prabhupada says, thus Yoga Nidra may be explained to be Yoga Maya. Now, while we're here, a little bit from the Brahma Samhita, this is verse 519. Before their conglomeration, the primary elements in their nascent state remained originally separate entities. Non-application of the conglomerating process is the cause of their separate existence. Divine Mahavishnu, primal Godhead, through association with his own spiritual chit potency, moved Maya and by the application of the conglomerating principle, created those different entities in their state of cooperation. And after that, he himself consorted with Yoga Nidra by way of his eternal dalliance with his spiritual chit potency. As Bhaktisiddhanta's translation. Now, this is from the Brahma Samhita. Basically, he's saying that Mahavishnu lies in his Yoga Nidra sleep. But you see here that he's saying that he's consorting with his Yoga Nidra. So Mahavishnu, that Yoga Nidra is Yoga Maya. So he's consorting with his Yoga Maya. He's interacting, enjoying with his consort, Yoga Maya. These are his spiritual pleasure potencies, his spiritual potencies, which, you know, he derives his spiritual bliss from. And he says, he himself consorted with Yoga Nidra by way of his eternal dalliance with his spiritual chit potency. So this Yoga Maya is the spiritual chit potency. In the purport, he explains how, you know, citing Bhagavad Gita 9.10, that the material energy gives birth to this animate and inanimate manifestation. And he says the purport of this sloka from Brahma Samhita 5.19, the purport of this sloka of the Gita, Bhagavad Gita 9.10, is that Maya, the perverted reflection of spiritual chit potency, was at first inactive, and her extension of matter constituting the material cause was also in the separate dislocated state. So there was no manifested separate elements. It was all unmanifest, just the energy without any separate manifestations. In accordance with the will of Krishna, this world is manifested as the resultant of the union of the efficient and material causal principles of Maya. In spite of that, the Supreme Lord himself remains united with his chit potency Yoga Nidra. So the Lord, by his energy, is setting the material energy into motion. But he's not associating with the material energy. He's associating in Yoga Nidra with his chit potency. That's the point. The word Yoga Nidra, so this is very, very interesting, because, you know, we see the world as a dream in one sense. This body is a dreamlike body, because it originates from the dream of Mahavishnu. Where the whole material world, he's fully awake, enjoying with his spiritual potency, and in that yoga nidra, there is a manifestation of the dream-like existence, illusory-like existence of the material world. But he does that he's fully awake to the spiritual potency who he's enjoying with. So again, as he is fully awake and only associating and only relating to the spiritual chit potency, and yet in that yoga nidra, the material manifestation which he is aware of takes place. The yoga nidra or yoga maya indicates as follows. The nature of chit potency is manifestive of the absolute truth, while the nature of her perverted reflection, Maya, is envelopment in the gloom of ignorance. It's a dreamlike state. When Krishna desires to manifest something in the mundane ignorance-wrapped affairs, he does this by the conjunction of his spiritual potency with his inactive, non-spiritual potency. This is known as Yoga Maya. It carries a twofold notion, namely transcendental notion and mundane inert notion. So here again we're coming back to the Yoga Maya principle, and Yoga Maya is very important potency in the sense that when you when there's an interaction between the material energy and the spiritual energy, two things are going on in a union. That is the activities of Yoga Maya. And that manifests, as we say, as Yoga Nidra, where the Lord himself also is just fully in... Yoga Nidra means that either a devotee or the Lord himself, even though the material energy is active, they're fully aware of the spiritual reality. So whether... and so... for the Lord remains fully aware of the spiritual reality, even though the dreamlike material manifestation is manifest from him. And by the Lord's Yoga Maya, the devotee can also, by the grace of the Yoga Maya, be fully aware of their spiritual existence and aware of the material dreamlike state at the same time. And you know, that's also quite interesting in a temple or in the Dham, where we see that there's an interaction between certain persons who are completely on the material situation, even sometimes in the temple, and it's being done in conjunction with people who are completely on the spiritual activity but who are fully aware of the material aspects that are happening. That's Yoga Nidra. It encompasses the entire material creation and also our individual dealings with it as a devotee. It carries a twofold notion, namely transcendental notion and mundane inert notion. Krishna himself, his subjective portions, his expansions, and those jivas who are his unalloyed separated particles realize the transcendental notion in that conjunction, while the conditioned souls feel the mundane inert notion. The external coating of transcendental knowledge in the conscious activities of conditioned souls bears the name of Yoga Nidra. This is also an influence of the chit potency of the divinity. So this is, you know, when Krishna says, they're under the protection of my divine potency, means his spiritual potency. Then we understand the Yoga Maya potency, which manifests in that Yoga Nidra aspect, where one is fully conscious of the spiritual reality and can also perceive the material illusions that are going on in the fact that we've got this body, and how others are also acting on the... in one sense, when Krishna says that, you know, Sri Murthy was saying the other day, that he rolls up the curtain, you know. So for the conditioned soul, the curtain is there. For the devotee, the curtain is raised, but you can also see the curtain covering of the others. You can see the veil that they're still under.
Yoga Maya appears as a sister of Krishna. And here you mentioned that Mahavishnu is enjoying the Yoga Maya as his consort.
Yeah.
So how do we understand?
Yeah, so that Yoga Maya appeared. That Yoga Maya appeared.
So that Yoga Maya is now,
but how do you reconcile?
Appeared with Krishna. Because we remember that because it is Vishnu. He is the one that deals both with the material and spiritual aspect. In the spiritual world, it is just the spiritual aspect. So therefore, that Yoga Maya potency is particularly relevant to Vishnu. And when Krishna appears, Mahavishnu, along with his yogamaya potency, enters within the form of Krishna and appears, and that yogamaya still performs the same activities keeping some living entities, their spiritual knowledge is always covered, even when they're around spiritual activities and spiritual places. And the yogamaya acts to, reveal the spiritual reality, the chit factor, to the devotees of the Lord. And sometimes these things become very, there's a union, such as where you get demons coming into Vrindavan and so many different things, people seeing Krishna and thinking he's a, an ordinary human being and not a nice person, even though sometimes they may see him. So that is the activity of yoga maya. Now, whether yoga maya, as far as I understand, yoga maya, as specifically stated there, is for that interaction of the material and spiritual energy. And therefore, in Vaikuntha, Loka Vrindavan, that's not quite necessary, because there is no material energy to, about that. And in that aspect, then the Chit Shakti, especially in the Ladini Shakti aspect, would be, not having to combine material and spiritual things. So, this, and therefore you see why this yoga maya is stated to be the chief potency of the Lord. Chief potency, especially in this sense of here we're dealing with spiritual activities of the Lord in the material world, that conjunction. Therefore, she's the chief because she makes all those arrangements. In another sense, you may say in the spiritual world, the chief potency would be Radharani. Brahma Samhita 5:19. All right, we're almost finished. We have finished, but I'll just read one little thing from Garga Samhita and then I'll let you go. When Yogamaya carried Devaki's seventh fetus to Braja and placed it in Rohini's womb, the people of Mathura wondered, where did the child go? All right. So she's in Braja. After 5 days in the month of Bhadra, August, September, on the sixth day of the bright fortnight, when Mercury, five exalted planets, and the constellation Libra were on the horizon at midday, as the demigod showered flowers and the clouds sprinkled drops of water, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, illuminating Nanda's home with his splendor, appeared from Vasudeva's wife, Rohini. And Prabhupada will mention in the Krishna book about the book, as far as I understand, by Vishwanath Chakravarti, the core, which lists the astrological birth chart and details of, such personalities as Balaram and Krishna, proving that astrology is not a mundane science. It can be used in a mundane way, but there's these astrological factors are considered by the acharyas. Yeah. Nanda performed the child's birth ceremony and gave in charity 1 million cows to the brahmanas. He then called the gopis and observed a very auspicious festival with the music of many singers and instrumentalists. Coming there with Devala, Devarat, Vasistha, Brihaspati and myself, Narada, Vyasadeva became pleased when Nanda washed his feet and worshipped him in many ways. So see all these personalities come. Sri Nanda said, who is this handsome boy whose equal cannot be seen anywhere? How is it that he was born after only residing 5 days in his mother's womb. O great sage, please tell me this. Well, there you go, 5 days. Sri Vyasa said, Nanda, you are very fortunate. This child is the eternal Ananta Sesha. In Mathura, he was conceived by Vasudeva and Devaki by Lord Krishna's desire. O King Nanda, you may now see him even though great yogis cannot. Nanda, I have come here to see him, and so please show him the Supreme Person who is greater than the greatest and who now displays the form of an infant before us. Nanda showed the sages the child Ananta Sesha. Gazing at the child in the cradle, Vyasa, struck with wonder, bowed down and then prayed. O Master of the demigods, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Lord who grants desires, obeisances to you, obeisances to you, who are Lord Ananta Sesha, obeisances to you, who are directly Lord Rama. Eternal obeisances to you, Lord Sankarshan, the maintainer of the earth, perfect and complete, effulgent and glorious, holding a plough in your hand and having 1,000 heads. You are Baladev, Ravati's husband and the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead's elder brother. You are armed with a plough and you are the killer of Pralambasura, a Supreme Person, be merciful to me. So Nanda knows these things are coming. Obeisances to you who are known as Bala and Balabhadra and who displays a palm tree flag. Obeisances to you. So on Balaram's appearance day, we should put up a palm tree flag. This is Garga Samhita. Obeisances to you, Rohini's fair complexioned son, dressed in blue garments. You are the enemy of Danuka, Mushtika, Kuta, Rukmi, Kupakana, and Kumbanda. You put an end to Balava. You divided the Jamuna and dragged Hastinapur. You are the enemy of Dravida. You are the king of the Yadavas and the decoration of Braja. You are the killer of Kamsa's brothers, a pilgrim who goes to holy places, the supreme master and the teacher of Duryodhana. O Lord, please protect the world. All right? So this is Vyas speaking. O infallible Lord, O greater than the greatest, O Lord Ananta, O Lord whose fame is spread everywhere, glory unto you, obeisances to you, who holds a plough and a club and are the master of the demigods, great sages and celestial serpents. One who regularly reads or recites these prayers attains Lord Hari's supreme abode. That's why I had to read it to you. Even while in this world, he attains all strength and crushes his enemies. He attains victory, wealth and followers. Sri Narada said, after circumambulating Lord Balaram and bowing down before him 100 times in the company of the foremost sages, Vyas Muni, the son of Parasara and Satyavati, went to the Sarasvati River. So there's a little blessing, considering all the obstacles we have to deal with of late in the material world. Yes, okay. Sri Sankarshan Balaram Ki Jai. Sankarshan Ram. I sometimes say Sankarshan Ram. We do. And Sri Krishna Ki Jai. Yogamaya Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi Hari Bol.
And that was up to 10:15.
So, yes, next week we'll start at verse 16 of the second chapter. So it's very good that we didn't miss a class today because we only did 8 verses. But very important.